Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My friend Noelle, who I've spoken before about her love of telling people, describing her waste products mm-hmm. when we were young kids, she was born on Christmas, and Christmas Eve, and she always got mad because she felt she got gypped.
Yeah.
But I always thought it even out in the wash because her dad was rich. So I was like, yeah, okay. You get twice as many presents as like normal kids, even though you get like 10% less presents than like your siblings.
Yeah, could have stopped at dad being born rich. You win. That's okay. That's all right.
Could have used that. Could have really used that. Instead, I had a loving father.
Well.
Drats.
Well, you make it sound like there's no loving fathers out there that are also wealthy.
I think we know the answer. I think it's empirical proof.
There are good dads out there that exist.
If you're all out there well off, you know you don't love your children. Let's just be honest about it. That's why I've stayed poor through this life, so my kids know how much I love them.
That's right. You'll show them.
Yeah.
With all sorts of hearts and hugs.
Yeah, and you know, dead after I die. Now, that being said, one media member in this town is saying things nobody else has, and I commend him for it. I don't agree with him, but I commend him for it. Tom Withers was filling in today on Baskin and Phelps. Hey, guys, we got that press conference today. How about that?
Yeah.
Woo! Feels good. That being said, Tom basically made the argument to keep both Stefanski and Barry.
I think I hang on to him and try to get... And I know this would create a mess heading into next year, right? With people on the hot seat or what have you. But that's just the nature of the business that it is, right? I just feel like they've been put into such, and some of this is their own doing. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not going to, you know, we can just dissect the drafts and the good drafts from the bad drafts. And there's been far more of those. What they were handed with this Watson trade, and I wondered when it happened that how bad would things get if it goes sideways? Mm-hmm. And it went more than sideways, right? It is literally going to put this franchise back the better part of a decade by the time they dig out from underneath it. And so when people talk about, this roster and what have you, and listen, have there been huge mistakes made with the wide receiver room? Unquestionably. Had you been able to use those three first-round picks, Andy, you would have, let's say, a left tackle going into his fourth year, another linebacker going into his third year, another wide receiver going into his second year. Oh, by the way, all first-round picks. You would hope you could go for 2 for 3 on those.
So I think Tom was very respectful in the way that he did this. And I know the cool thing about Tom is you know that he believes this, and he backed it up with why he believes this. I just want to go right back to the Deshaun Watson trade. And the idea of, I don't believe that this was foisted upon Kevin or Andrew. I believe Andrew came up with a decision, got Kevin on board, and then they went and convinced Jimmy Haslam to do that. There's some good reporting around here that Andrew and Kevin went to Jimmy and got this done.
Yeah.
But even if I agree with you that Jimmy was the one that made this happen, even if I agreed on that, it's been 4 years. It's been 4 years since the worst trade in NFL history was consummated, and no one's gotten fired.
Well,
that
so
in and of itself has been incredible patience for Jimmy Haslam, whether he pulled the trigger on that deal or not.
Is the best defense of Stefanski and Barry, though, the idea that they were around when the worst trade happened, and this all of a sudden tanked there? And
they were in the office.
And again, from the people that have come up with thought partners and all these collaborative words that suggest that everything they do is all within one group and one mind, we're just supposed to just let that exist?
Yeah.
How is that the best defense you got?
Yeah. It's interesting. Jimmy is getting dinged as an owner in a way that other owners who are just as bad as him, if not worse, aren't. I'm not hearing nearly enough about how bad the Adams sisters are at owning franchises, considering they've been firing coaches or GMs off and on every 12 to 15 months for 5 years now. Not hearing enough about that.
I do wonder, though.
Woody Johnson, another tremendously bad owner, is getting this, like this, oh, he's not going to fire Aaron Glenn. He loves him. I'm getting a lot of passes for a lot of really bad owners, and for some reason, Jimmy is the great boogeyman around the
NFL.
You see,
but now I'm going to sound like I'm going to defend Jimmy for a second here, but like, if the Deshaun Watson trade had gone swimmingly, had gone everything they thought it would be, top five quarterback and everything, you know that Jimmy would not be getting any of the credit for this.
Yes. Yeah, no. And
that is part of being an owner in many ways.
And I honestly,
but I find that part of it interesting as well.
I think Jimmy is like the perfect guy for everyone to unite around outside of Cleveland, and even some for Cleveland. And this is not what I'm saying. What Tom thinks, I'm saying with how Jimmy's being treated. And again, it sounds weird that I'm defending someone mm-hmm. that I think has had his hand in the mess over the last couple of years. But people that don't like Jimmy traded for a guy with 20-plus sexual assaults, sexual assault lawsuits, they still don't like Jimmy Haslam. Nothing has changed there. People who were pissed at Jimmy for handing out the first fully guaranteed 5-year, $230 million contract in NFL history are still pissed at Jimmy. And that includes other NFL owners. Like, in a way, Jimmy just, as of right now, does not have a lot of people are still pissed about the Brook Park Stadium thing. Like, there's a million reasons to just blatantly bash Jimmy instead of looking at the evidence of old Jimmy Haslam would have fired these guys after year one of the failure.
Well, but he's trying to not be old Jimmy Haslam. That's part of this whole conversation as well. And
But he's not getting credit for that, which I think is weird.
No, and I don't think he'll get credit for that for a very long time. It would have to be another like 6-year run with another head coach where he doesn't fire him when he should have 3 years prior before I think like the league will recognize you get credit for this. Is that the best defense, though? What Tom laid out right there, if you're trying to build a defense for Stefanski and Barry to both keep their jobs selectively, is that the best that we can do?
Yes. By the way, I disagree with the defense. I think I could pick it apart, and I have tried to pick it apart here. But yes, I think the one road that you can go down when it comes to, hey, why not bring these guys back?
The only one I can think of, and it might not even qualify as a better defense of what Tom gave out, but one that would at least make more sense to me for if they're both back next year, is if this was the plan the entire time. And I've told you this before. I really do believe, like, it's a small chance. There's a very small avenue that this exists. But the avenue would be that this was, in fact, a 2-year tank rebuild, whatever you want to call it. They weren't trying to win a lot of games. And they've executed that plan. Part of that plan being, though, we can't make it as obvious as 1-31 was. We have to still put on the front face that this is going where we are trying to win games. And, oh, we just happen to fall into this. Do that with whatever information you can and try as best as you can. But ultimately, pull off a 3-win season in back-to-back years. And in that case, they both keep their jobs because they are executing the plan perfectly.
I think I definitely have seen the idea of, guys, why are you upset that they're 3-12? This is all going according to plan. And my rebuttal would be, you have to know how to build a roster that won't win, but that can still compete. Not all 3-12 starts to the season, or if it ends up being 3-14, not all 3-14 seasons are the same. And I think this systemic failure from...
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop, assemble, and bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in.
we host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Both guys, one to build to make the Deshaun thing work, not building around him, not building a system around him soon enough from Kevin Stefanski and from Andrew Berry. You neglected the most important thing if you're going to have quarterback instability, or there's a chance of it, which is your line play. And that all came to fruition. Like all of this year, all of it is fallout from the Deshaun thing. That's why it's impossible to say, well, we plan to do this. No, you plan to succeed with Deshaun. And if you wanted to build a competitive but not winning team,
well,
together an offensive line out there that could have that wasn't washed. You would have drafted and developed replacements for the guys who were going to go off into the sunset this last year.
I don't even know that you would have. But like the idea that the plan could have changed easily after the first 2 years, and they realized Deshaun wasn't it. Like, that's where, like, it was painfully obvious to anybody that wanted to pay attention, and I think 99% of people listening did. After 2 years, Deshaun was too broke, too injured, and also too not good at football for this to ever work. And so, like, if there was another plan after that that they would have started to execute, that's where I'm saying I could see that being a reality that we'll never find out because they don't admit to these things, and we never get anything beyond this. But if Stefanski's back next year, it's the only thing I'm left to believe. Not that Jimmy Haslam all of a sudden felt sorry for him because of the Deshaun Watson fallout, because that doesn't pass for me.
I just continue to come back to, you could have been a top five pick, top seven pick, and still put yourself not entirely behind the eight ball. If the goal was to be bad, there are many different ways to be bad. You were relatively non-competitive for about half your games this year. That's not, you can't plan for that. That is a version of tanking that you would then be lucky to win three games. And I'm uncomfortable with kind of maybe positioning it that way.
Get lucky to win three games.
No, I actually think they're unlucky. I think they should have won more games. I think bad special teams play, bad game management, bad coaching is why they're a three-win team.
Well, I mean, but that's all with the team that they put out there, though. Like, the bad special team stuff that's encompassing to the roster. That's the idea that they all of a sudden, hey, Gage Larvidan, you're our punt returner, when Larvidan was on the practice squad and then had been elevated to try to do just that, when that's not really something he should have been asked to do.
Like, are you giving Bubba Ventrone the Peterlin pass?
Oh, am I making the case that he didn't have the roster and the players? Mm. I'm saying you probably shouldn't have beat the Packers, because that's just, they're a much better team than you are. And so you're realistically, I can give you the Raiders win. They absolutely stink. I'll be generous with the Dolphins win, although they turned it around.
What about the Jets loss?
Yeah, you probably should have been able to have that. So like, are we splitting the baby here?
What about
the Jets loss, so. Though? I don't know. But I don't know. Like, I mean, again, you're a three-win team.
Yeah, but you're a more talented team than they were.
A three-win team is accomplishing the goal. Like, that's...
You're
accomplishing, guess, if that is the goal, that is, then you would be hitting that, because three wins get you the first, second, or third pick most years.
I think any defense of this organization, both in this year and the previous 6 years, feels like mental gymnastics to me. It does. It just feels like we're trying. Well, but
I think we're just trying to figure out how they end up with both their jobs next year.
I think we're trying to reverse engineer something that is illogical. That the logical thing here with Stefanski and Berry is, you got 6 years. People are acting. I'm not saying Withers is. I'm not saying you are. But there are people who, when you talk about Stefanski and Berry, acting like this is a Greek freaking tragedy. They've only got 6 years. They haven't had their quarterback. It's like, right? They had six. It's the NFL.
You don't get this long. I get it.
No head coach has gotten 6 years from the Browns since Marty. Since Marty freaking Schottenheimer. I was a child. I was a toddler.
Yeah,
the
last time a coach got
6 damn years.
6 years and one playoff win is not good enough for anybody, unless you're named Mike Tomlin.
That's good. I like that.
Okay, good. I'm glad you liked it.
He's a 10-1 team.
It was done for you.
But, no, I mean, I think, like, and by the way, that's not just the Cleveland norm, because I think it's where Cleveland has been abnormal in this whole process is when they would only give coaches 2 years. Jimmy Haslam has broken that cycle of dysfunction.
And I think he's done enough, by the way, to tell the rest of the NFL. And again, it might take another coach before this really sets in, but he's on the pathway of telling, if you take this job, we're not just going to take you for a year or two and then run you out. He's making inroads on that. A seventh and eighth year, you don't need to do it. 6 years is plenty enough in that regard.
Tom Withers says he wants to hang on, can make the case for hanging on to Stefanski and Barry. And I listen, I thought he did a great job of presenting his case. I just come back to, you don't fail to this degree. You don't close Super Bowl window number one, and everybody gets to be a part of Super Bowl window number two. I think we're going too far in the direction of patience, peace, love, and happiness. Maybe it's a Christmas spirit. Maybe it's not. I don't know. If this is where Jimmy Haslam's head is, he's trying to beat a narrative about him. And the only way he can really beat that narrative is start winning some games consistently and stop being, have successive seasons of three wins, right?
Nick Cabot walked in the door there with Super Bowl window number two.
I'm ready for
it. Welcome to the holiday party. Eggnog's in the corner. We're drinking till 11.
Turns out that Super Bowl window number one was number two.
There it is.
Have some sake.
Hey, we're having fun.
The Peterlin Pass coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.